ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam 11th Canto, Chapter 18, Description of Varnashram Dharma, Text Number 14. Viprasyavai sanyasato Devadaradi rupina Viknam kurvantyayam yasman Akram yasami yatpara Viprasya, of the saintly person. Vai, indeed. Sanyasataha, taking sanyas. Devaha, the demigods. Dara-adarupina, appearing in the form of his wife. Or other women and attractive objects. Vikna, stumbling blocks. Kurvanti, create. Ayam, the sannyasi. He, indeed. Asman, them, the demigods. Akramya, surpassing. Samyat, should go. Param, back home. Back to Godhead. Translation. This man taking sannyas is going to surpass us and go back home, back to Godhead. Thus thinking, the demigods create stumbling blocks on the path of the sannyasi by appearing before him in the shape of his former wife, or other women and attractive objects. But the sannyasi should pay the demigods and their manifestations no heed. Purport. The demigods are empowered with universal administration and by their potency may appear as the former wife of a sannyasi or as other women, so that the sannyasi gives up his strict vows and becomes entangled in sense gratification. Lord Krishna here encourages all sannyasis by telling them, pay no attention to such illusory manifestations. Continue your duties and go back home, back to Godhead. Om Ajnanatimanasya Jnanandana Salakya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namah Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam yena bhutale Swayam rupa kadamayam Dadati swaparantikam Vandeham si guru si yuta padakamalam Si gurum vaisnavam scha Si rupam sagrajatam Sagana raganatam vitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sivisakanvitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kansana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Visavanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpaturubhyacha Sakripa Sandubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaisnavibhyo namo nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this verse is interesting from different perspectives. One of the perspectives is that the demigods apparently are much more involved with our lives as one might think at first sight. We may think of the demigods as the personalities who are sort of part of the universal administration. And they control powers of nature, wind, rain, sun, and so on, or the domain of the waters. But here we find a description that the demigods actually at times may create stumbling blocks on the path of some personality who might surpass them. So that is quite amazing, actually, to think that they would get so involved with human affairs. Then it is said that they may appear before the sannyasi in the shape of his former wife. I think we should take it that not that the sannyasi or that the demigod is taking an illusory form of the wife and of the former wife and then just appears. No, rather that the demigods are taking control of the mind of the former wife and are bringing her before her husband. You have left us, and now what will we do? How will we live? Simply carry on. That is the point. Once one takes sannyas, then one has placed his family members in the hands of the Supreme Lord. Sannyas is not the same like a divorce. Modern times, there are so many divorces. And in a divorce, one see that between a husband and wife, they are breaking the relationship. Right. There is nothing anymore between us. It's finished. Right. We will no longer have anything to do with each other. Speak to my lawyer. That kind of an approach. But in the sannyas arrangement, where there is a voluntary separation, there is, as I said, there is still a relationship. Although that relationship may not be active, but the husband who leaves his family leaves as a well-wisher. It's not that he... So as a well-wisher, his prayers are there for his former family. And he simply points out that, my dear Lord, now I'm placing all these beloved family members under your care. I am giving up now this family responsibility to take on a greater responsibility. It is said, Vasudeva Kutumbakam, that one accepts the entire world as one's family. It is amazing how much energy can go in one family. Just a few people. Yeah? Just a handful of people, and all your energy just goes in there, in the household ashram. You work for them, you think about them, you worry about them, you have pictures of them on your dashboard, in the car, or on your phone, on the screensaver, on your computer, scrolling, always preoccupied, making arrangements, saving money for your son, for his studies, for later, thinking about the grandchildren that have not appeared yet, but putting something aside for them as well in case that might happen, although it may never happen. and so on. So many intricate ways that the mind can become preoccupied. The complexities, unlimited in family life. And it just absorbs all our energy, everything. And it is amazing that when one actually gives up this family life, and one, instead of thinking sectarian, one adopts the whole world as a family, Vasudeva, Kutumbakam, it is amazing then with how many people one can interact. See, the Prabhupada points out that it's artificial. It is artificial to have so much affection for a few children and to sort of no affection for the other ones. Yeah, go away, you know, that's the horrible child of the neighbors. Yeah, get out of here. Come, my darling. Yes. As the story of Dhruva, we remember. He was not allowed. Not allowed. No, you can't sit on the lap of your father, his stepmother said. So she had affection for her own sons, but not for Dhruva, who was the son of someone else. We see the same in Kaikeyi. Yes, my son Bharat, he should be on the throne. Send Ram to the forest one day before the coronation. So again, this partiality. And Srila Prabhupada says, why? Why? Why not adopt all the children of the world? All of them. And even, why just the children? Why discriminate? And said, I'll be your well-wisher until 12, and after that you're on your own, kind of thing, or give you 15, but that's it, you know. Sorry, after 15 we don't love you anymore, and then that's it, finished. No, to become the well-wisher, suridam sarvadehinam, to be the well-wisher of all living beings, all along, all the time, that is the true spirit of sannyas. So the sannyasi, but is it that the sannyasi is the well-wisher of all living beings? Suridam sarvadeinam, the well-wisher of all living beings except one, his former wife. Is it like that? No, it is not like that. The sannyasi is also the well-wisher of his former wife. But the relationship is not active now. He is not in any way acting to do anything in relationship to her. He is not communicating with his former wife in any way. Not only is he not communicating, he's actually not even thinking of his former wife. Even in his mind, he is not praying for her. Right? Oh my Lord, please make sure that they are taken care of. Oh my Lord, he's not worrying anymore. Oh Lord, please, my son who's totally dependent. No, but he has prayed. He prayed before he took sannyas. Before taking sannyas, he prayed in great depth and really placed his wife, his family, his dependents in the hands of the Lord and said, my Lord, you kindly take care. And he knows that if he gives all his energy to the Supreme Lord in the service of the Lord, then he knows that everything will go on. That then the Supreme Lord will make all arrangements. But for that, the sannyasi has to make a very serious endeavor. Sannyas is an ashram, one of the four ashram. For the chapter here is called Description of Varnashram Dharma. Varnashram Dharma is in itself not transcendental. Sanustitasya dharmasya. It is that a particular dharma is arising from someone's nature. Even sannyas, it may be more suitable to the nature of some than to the nature of others. Some may just feel that it's very austere to take sannyas, and others may feel that it's very austere to stay in the household ashram. It's just what you consider austere, right? The idea of every morning having to jump in your suit and tie and go to some job in which you don't believe. Sannyasi says, forget it, I can't do that. Whereas the Grihastha is seeing a sannyasi, he is renounced and always putting the emphasis on spiritual things, and he's saying, I can't do that. So sanustitasya dharmasya, in one sense, it comes from nature, and some people by nature may just be more suitable for one position or other within the varna ashram. Still, sannyas comes naturally, because it is stated, tadarajas tamobhava kamalobhriyasthai mataivadi tanviristitam satvapasidati, that in the process of devotional service, the influence of the lower modes of material nature, passion and ignorance, gradually disappear. So, the mode of passion is the desire to enjoy the material energy, basically. So, gradually, in devotional service, the desire to enjoy the material energy becomes minimized. Srila Prabhupada, in his introduction to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, has given an example of going up in a plane. And as we go up in the plane, all the things on earth become small. A house like a matchbox and so on. A car like an ant. Things like this. Everything becomes small. So Prabhupada says in spiritual life is the same thing. Material things gradually become small and insignificant. All those things that were so important, now less and less. Less and less. So, in this way, we can see that that we have come. I remember a lecture of Bhakti Charu Maharaj about America, the promised land, you know, and that many people think America is the promised land. There was even a musical called The West Side Story. I want to be in America. Everything's free in America. 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 Like that, huh? The glorification of America. So, yes. So, America. So Maharaj was saying, yes. Is America the promised land? The land of milk and honey? As it's stated in the Bible, promised land, the land of milk and honey. He said, no, it's the land of beef and beer. Which I thought, you know, you can apply that to Australia as well. So I thought that was that was good. I thought he really pinpointed something. We're looking due to passion. We're seeing all the glitter. And we think, yes, yes, I will enjoy all these things, the glitter of the material energy. There is endless glitter in the material energy, and it's catching the eye. And yes, we want it. But actually, in devotional service, gradually, it becomes more and more insignificant. So renunciation is a natural consequence of devotional service. And therefore, everyone everyone gradually gets more renounced. Because gradually our interest changes and we become more interested in Krishna. Many came to Australia with the idea, Australia, it will be so nice. And then they stumbled on the Hare Krishna movement. How it happened, they didn't know. But it somehow or other happened, and gradually things have changed. And now Krishna has become the main goal, rather than being in Australia. So this is a further example of how in devotional service our priorities change gradually from enjoying the material energy to serving Krishna. And therefore, it is natural to renounce at one point and to just say, why bother? Why bother with all these material things? They take away my time and energy from Krishna. Yes, don't we have a desire to read Srimad Bhagavatam? But never the time to read Srimad Bhagavatam. Never. And then finally think, well, what if I would just one day stop everything and just read the Bhagavatam? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, that is the spirit of sannyas. Make it our main business to read the Bhagavatam. That is a primary duty for a sannyasi. Read the Bhagavatam. Read the scripture. Jnana yoga vyastitaha. Develop transcendental, cultivate transcendental knowledge. So it is said. Connect with the Supreme Lord through transcendental knowledge and become deeply established in that position. That is the sannyasi's duty, as it is described in the Bhagavad Gita. So the duties of a sannyasi are kind of naturally coming to a devotee. Preaching, to become deeply absorbed in remembering Krishna, in worshipping Krishna. These are all things that naturally come with time. And of course, one must make some preliminary steps in spiritual life. Quite many years ago, I had just returned from India to Europe. It was in 95. And I came the day after there had been a big marriage. I think I actually arrived on that day and I saw a glimpse of all of the marriage party, but I was too wiped out to deal with it. So I just took rest. And the next morning they had scheduled me for Bhagavatam class, and I swear that I didn't do it on purpose, but I happened to find a similar verse as is here, right? A verse speaking about sannyas. So, in that lecture, what came out was the statement that one should start thinking about sannyas on the day of one's marriage. And that kind of... they had an emergency meeting about it. Whether they should adjust the class schedule. These I was, scheduled for quite a few classes. But let me explain that a little more, right? It wasn't meant that one should think about sannyas in an irresponsible way, marry one day and take sannyas the next day, or the next month, or the next year. That's not at all what I meant. What I meant was, in the scriptures, we know there is that the Grihastha ashram is described as the dark well, the Griham Andhakupam, the dark well. So it is said it is a dark well, and it is difficult to get out of this well. So in getting married, there are different ways to deal with the well. Some people, they go, all right, let's go. 1, 2, 3, and head down, you know? Let's see how deep we can go. Go! And they go all the way. But in most wells, traditional wells, I don't know if you have experience in Australia because you have no water, but in India we have wells, and usually in the well there is also a ladder inside, right, some brackets in the wall, you know, so that you can go down and do some maintenance work, right? So one can go in the well without going to the bottom, right? Why go into the bottom? So sannyas is not something, a matter of, you come of age, your hair is all grey, or you're getting really bald, and yes, your time is, you're way over 50, and one day you think, oh my God, maybe I should take sannyas. You'll never take sannyas. In that way, no. If you start thinking about sannyas when you're way over 50, you'll never do it. It won't work like that. Sannyas means one has to prepare, mentally prepare, and in his actions one has to prepare. One has to mold his life in such a way that in the end it winds up at sannyas. That's what I meant when it says on the first day of marriage one should think about it. That one day I will have to do this. And that means that now I should take certain steps in my life so that I will be able to do this. And I should avoid certain things that will entangle me so much that, especially emotionally, right, and possibly physically, that will entangle me so much that I will not be able to take. But it may also mean that I may have to now take care nicely of my family. Because it's not a matter of, well, okay, I'm taking sannyas and good luck, you know, and help, right? But how are we going to live? It is not like that either. There has to be, there is love. Right? Vedic culture, Varna Ashram, the first principle of Varna Ashram is love. Right? It's not a political system. So it's not from, well, you know, sorry, but the contract ends here. You know, it's too bad, but it's in the scriptures, and so, you know, goodbye. Right? Nothing like that. There is actually, it's based on love. And on loving arrangements and loving relationships between all the members in the different varnas and in the different ashrams. So there is care. It's not that in Vedic culture the brahmacharis have the bag and it's like, you know, not interested, get out of here, you know, what you're knocking on people's doors for, you know, bang, get out of here, you. Nothing like that. It's there's a loving relationship. Oh, yes, a brahmachari, how nice. Yes, how are you? Welcome. Yes, yes, we'll give you something, of course. And so on. So love is the principle. Therefore, a husband naturally wants to make all the arrangements that his family is very comfortable. And that is part of renunciation. Even in our movement, it's even more funny. I remember that in my case, I was living quite a renounced lifestyle because I was in Vrindavan, and it's sort of a place where you're renounced. And then when I started to think about sannyas, I suddenly had to arrange a house. I never had a house. I always lived in some room of ISKCON or something like that, never had a house. So now you have to leave your wife a house. Jeez, you know, I mean, got no money for a house. Well, you had to leave her a house. So part of my renunciation was that I had to start a business. Right? I had to actually start a business to make money to get a house. Right? That's how it was. So in the process of becoming more renounced, I had to become more entangled. Yeah. It was funny, but that's how it went. So in Kali Yuga, sat is ulta, it is all upside down, but somehow or other, internally, one has to be renounced. So even for attaining the ultimate end, we have to sometimes become more involved in the material energy so that we make proper arrangements. The arrangements have to be very properly made. That is taking sannyas responsibly. If that is not possible due to circumstances, then what to do? Then just place the family in the hands of Krishna and still take sannyas. That is the tradition. Sannyas, however, is not for everyone. And that's clear by now. We see that sannyas is unusual. It is said in the Vedic literature, asvamedam kavalambam sannyasam palapaitrikam devarena sutotpatim panchakalo vivarjayet, that five things are forbidden in the age of Kali. Cow sacrifice, horse sacrifice, sannyas is mentioned. Sannyas. So what about that? If it is forbidden in the scripture. We see that Srila Prabhupada in his purports in Srimad Bhagavatam is clarifying the matter a little further. There is the reference of Kardama Muni, who the father of Lord Kapila Dev, husband of Devahuti, who took sannyas after properly placing his wife under the care of his son. Then Kardama Muni took sannyas. And it is said that Srila Prabhupada there gives an explanation and explains that although it is mentioned that sannyas is forbidden in the age of Kali, that if a person is actually able to take sannyas, then he should take sannyas. And then he begins to explain that if one is a devotee of Krishna, then it is possible to take sannyas. Yesterday, we also on this point mentioned that there are two types of sannyas. The sannyas of the impersonalist, who basically his aim is to be dhira, his aim is to be undisturbed. So to become completely callous, no matter what temptation you put under his nose, he will not be, he will just stay equipoised by cultivating detachment. But this is described as Phalgu Vairagya. It is said because under the surface, the attachment remains. Phalgu Vairagya is referring to the Phalguna River, and I went to this Phalguna River, which is in Gaya, and it was hot. I thought, let me take a bath in the river. Came to the Phalguna, no water. There is water, but you have to dig about 1 meter under the ground. There is water. But if you dig a little bit, about 1 meter, then the hole immediately fills up with water. And it is even, some movement is in the water. You can see there is a river strongly moving under the ground. Yes. So, the Phalgu Vairagya is referring to this, that we have this kind of, that the material desire is still there, but underground. Sometimes it is said that this sex desire then may come out in another way. It comes out in the desire for profit, distinction, adoration. Because sex desire, part of sex desire is that one loves to be loved. One doesn't just love the other party, but part of it is one loves to be loved. Me, I am adored. So profit, distinction, and adoration are the subtle manifestation then of sex desire. So that will still remain. And thus there are many pitfalls on the way. And taking sannyas therefore in itself is a great step, but it is still external. It is still external. The condition of the heart still has to change. One may take the danda, and one may take the vow, but the vow, any vow, should be seen like a seed that we have to plant. We have to plant it, and we have to cultivate it and develop it. We have to take the vows and develop them. We have to fill them in. Someone comes, I have just taken initiation. Good. Now take advantage of these vows and make it into something very beautiful. The vows give us an opportunity, and one must utilize these vows. So when we take vows to give up material life, vows of initiation and so on, that is very important. Now that I am on this point, I'd like to point out that in the Vedic culture of Varna Ashram, there are of course four Varnas and four Ashrams and so on. So in the Ashrams, we see sometimes in the Grihastha Ashram is described as the Pravritti Mark, and the Sannyas Ashram as the Nivritti Mark. So the Pravritti Mark means the path of gradual material improvement. So the path, and then from there one might go up spiritually. Then the Nivritti Mark means the path of ending material existence. So there are these two paths in the Vedas. But in our movement it is of course different, because everyone is on the Nivritti Mark. Everyone is on the path of going back to Godhead, not just the sannyasis, but everybody. That is the aim of this movement, the grihasthas also. Therefore, the grihasthas in this movement are not the same as the ordinary householder in this world. The grihasthas in this movement are also on the Nivritti Mark, are also aiming to go back to Godhead. And therefore the vows of initiation in many ways resemble the vows of sannyas. Because the vow of initiation is for the same purpose, that we give up all other activity and come to the point of only pleasing Krishna. And even if there is still some contact between male and female, some physical contact, then that is only dharma viruddha bhutisu kamasmi bharatarsava, only according to the religious principles and the injunctions of the scripture, which Bhagavad Gita is referring to, and then Manusamhita is describing in more detail. Manusamhita is describing in detail how that physical contact between male and female is to be regulated. And there it is very clear. When Srila Prabhupada speaks about once a month and so on, then all the details are found there. Because the basic principle is of this dharma viruddha bhutisu kamasmi bharatarsava is that Krishna is the priority. Going back to Godhead has become the priority. So initiation is a big thing. It's a big thing. Because everything changes. Spiritual life becomes the priority of that day. And how to maintain that? Very difficult. Therefore, if we do not invest in the vows and try to engage in activities supporting the vows, then we'll never make it. We can say it's very simple. For initiation, all we ask is four regulated principles, 16 rounds. Yeah, but then what you don't have to do to maintain four regulated principles, that's quite an effort. That's not automatic. Many people in India have told me, Swamiji, the four principles, no problem. We have followed that our whole life. I doubt it. I don't believe it. I think the fourth principle has been broken. That principle of no illicit sex has been broken sometimes. I think that has been conveniently forgotten when they say, oh, we follow this for a whole life. Because it is not possible. It is not possible on the strength of punya alone to follow that. Even the devatas cannot do it on the strength of punya, of piety. And a birth in Bharat means a birth in punya. But punya will not do. Even piety, the inclination towards the Lord, it will not do. The inclination towards regulated principles, it will not do. Balavam indriyan gramo vidvamsama pikarsati. The senses are so strong that even someone who knows, vidvamsam, one who has learning, he has his moments of weakness. It is only possible to conquer material desire on the strength of love, not on the strength of knowledge. Knowledge can help us. Swamiji, yes, this is our culture. Yes, I know. But culture is not enough. Why is India in the state it is in? Why? It proves that very point. Culture is not enough, especially in the age of Kali. Even in previous ages, it was not enough. Why did the king have all? Why were there kings with all kinds of punishments and so on? Yeah? You read Manu Samhita, and you can see all kinds of rules are broken. All the four regulative principles are broken, and there are punishments given for it in the Vedic culture. What to speak in Kali Yuga? Prabhupada said that Vedic culture, he said, is something great and valuable. It's just like an elephant, he said, is great and valuable. He said, even when the elephant is dead, it is still valuable. And so on. The ivory and this, that, the bones, valuable. Yes. But, so Prabhupada said, Vedic culture is like that. Now it is dead, but it is still valuable. But he said it is dead. Yes, that is a fact in Kali Yuga. So the culture, even in previous yugas, it was not enough. The Mahabharata is full of stories of breaking some principle here, some principle there. Is it better now than 5,000 years ago? It's much worse. It's much worse. So culture is not enough. Knowledge is not enough. It won't do. Only love will do. Therefore, to be a sannyasi or to be an initiated devotee, to be on the path back to Godhead, only love of God will do. Now, fortunately, it said in this, when we think of love of God, we are thinking, well, that is so high, love of God, that is so high. I mean, who has that? Will we ever attain that this lifetime? Yes, Srila Prabhupada, but love of God, that is so high. Yes, but it is stated in Bhagavatam, also in this 11th canto, Ishvara tadadinesu balisesu dvisatsuta. And then it said, Prema maiti kripa peksha yakaruti samajama. It is said that even the Madhyam Adhikari has prem. The word prem is used. Yeah? That's very interesting. It said he has love for the Supreme Lord. Maybe not the same level of love that is found in the Uttama Adhikari, but he But there is love, and it is growing in his heart, and he's serving out of love. So, without cultivating our love for Krishna, through serving Krishna, through glorifying Krishna, through appreciating Krishna, through worshipping Krishna, without cultivating our love, it will become very hard to maintain vows. And then, when we break the vows, then the vows will punish us. If we break the vows, then the vows will beat our heart. These vows, once taken, will never go away. One can act as if they've gone away. Some people have done. They act as if the vows, as if they never took them. But the vows, when broken, are beating our heart every day of our life. They beat our heart. This is the difficulty. So the vows, but when the vows are used, and when we are investing in the vows and make something very beautiful out of it, and full of enthusiasm, are worshipping Krishna and learning to appreciate Krishna and serving Krishna, then they will flourish. They will flourish, and then these vows will bring us the greatest happiness in this life. What to speak of going back to Godhead at the end? Already in this life, they will bring us the greatest happiness, these vows. And of all these vows, the vow of sannyas is the best. It's the best vow, because it is the most complete vow. It is the most uncompromised vow. And in that way, vows are very wonderful opportunities. But that's it. It's an opportunity. It's not that. So, now it's done. Now I took the vow. Now I've made it. No. Now you've planted the seed. Now you water it. Now you guide the creeper in all the different directions. This is actually how it is. Alright, I think I'll leave it at this. Are there some reactions, some questions, or comments?
Sometimes it's written that the kachiyas can take up to vanaprastha and the brahmins lines with the vanaprastha. So, how does that relate to everyone who's gone?
The last portion, do we have that? Something.
How's that relevant for ISKCON?
Oh, how is that relevant for ISKCON? Okay. So, sometimes it is stated that within the Varna Ashram there are different injunctions given for people according to their position in the various Varnas. And that the Brahmins are meant to take sannyas, but the Kshatriyas, they are only taking up to Vanaprastha. And Vaishyas may also take Vanaprastha, and the Sudras, they don't even bother with that. They just try to live a pious life and serve like that. So there are such references for Varnashram. To what extent is that relevant for ISKCON? Well, in the absolute sense, it is not relevant. Because through the process of devotional service, one can rise above this material conditioning. Very quickly, as I said before, Tadara just a moment ago, very quickly we become transformed in this process, and we can be lifted above the position of our conditioning. So in that way, it is possible for even those who were not actually 100% Brahminical, even by inclination. I'm talking now Yasya Laksanam Proktam Pumsavana Vivijanjakam, that classified in a particular varna by consciousness, not by birth. but that you are a Brahman by inclination. So, not controlled by passion, but really in the mode of goodness. Always deeply absorbed in following the principles of Dharma. Not so easy. Passion is very strong. We also see in modern Indian culture, all these motorbikes, that's not exactly Brahminical. That's not Brahminical culture. Right? So it's like not exactly that everyone is so Brahminical. Right? So what to do with this? So then is sannyas only for those who are really Brahminical? I said no, if we become spiritually advanced, then it doesn't matter where we came from, then it is possible. But on the other hand, if we are deeply settled in the mode of goodness, it helps. It helps. At least by the mode of goodness, when we are lacking in love for Krishna, then we have to retreat to the mode of goodness. That is the nature. Not only for a sannyasi, but for any initiated devotees. If you live with vows, if you fail to just do it out of ecstasy, then the next thing is to do it out of duty. The highest is to follow the vows out of ecstasy, out of love, out of happiness. If you're not there, then the next level is the mode of goodness, to act out of duty. But if you're very afflicted by the mode of passion, then it's difficult to act out of duty always, every day of your life. Because duty is there every day of your life. Even on the days that you're not well, even on the days when you have been sick for 2 weeks and you've chanted terrible rounds for 2 weeks because you were totally out of it, and somehow or another strangled to finish your 16 rounds, and you feel spiritually not at your strongest just at that point, and then, just then, Maya comes. Just then, and then a slip between the cup and the lip can happen. A little accident can happen. So the mode of goodness helps. One is fixed in duty. No, this is my duty. So therefore, before taking sannyas, it is recommended that one cultivate the mode of goodness, and that if one has not cultivated good practice in the mode of goodness yet, then better wait and take more time. Take more time. A brahmachari also, once you are a brahmachari, you have to cultivate the mode of goodness, otherwise you're going to be one of the statistics. And you know, as they sometimes say, the statistics are against you. But if you take shelter at least of the mode of goodness, then you could be a survivor. But for a brahmachari it's optional, but for a sannyasi it's serious, because giving up the vow of sannyas is very serious. There are serious reactions, and then it really becomes a problem to go back to Godhead. That's why in traditional Vedic culture it said that it was better to jump in the Triveni, because the reactions are so bad, better jump in the Triveni and give up your life and start with a clean slate in next life. Now for our devotees, that's not recommended, to jump in the Triveni, because even although the reaction is very severe if one gives up sannyas, one can still overcome it by doing a lot of service. And then still attract the mercy of Krishna. That's the power of devotional service. But it's not recommended. So we must be careful. So the mode of goodness is important before taking such a serious vow. and for all devotees, and that's why we have some preparation. Oh, I want to take initiation. I really want it. I'm so eager to take. Yes, take some training. Take some training in the mode of goodness first. Build up some good habits. Then, yes. Then take. Yes. Why Dharma is compared to a bull? I wouldn't know. No, I wouldn't really have a good answer.
Because when they said that at the start of the Kali Yuga, you know, how the three legs of the bulls are broken, only one leg.
Yes, no, I know that, that's there.
What aspect of the leg?
The way I see it is it's more than a comparison. Right? It's more than a comparison. Dharma is a bull. Dharma is not compared to a bull, just like the earth, Bhumi, has that shape of a cow as one of her shapes, not only that form of a shape. So one of the shapes of Dharma is a bull. A bull is the embodiment. A bull is the embodiment of goodness. There is, Srila Prabhupada explains, he said there is nothing about the cow and the bull that is not favorable. Every aspect is favorable. Everything, in all respects. The bull and the cow are only favorable. Their whole existence is favorable. And that is why Dharma, who is only favorable, is appearing in the form of that bull. And that's the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. And that's why when you said why, my answer was, I don't know. Because I don't know why Krishna chose the bull. And why he didn't choose the lion. Or, you know, or the dog, man's best friend. And make them the totally harmless creature. So that's why I don't know. Because it's Krishna's choice. But Krishna chose to make the bull a totally harmless creature. Completely harmless. There is nothing, there's no violence. He is simply favorable, the bull. And if we just use the bulls, then everything will be fine. Energy crisis solved, ecology problems solved. And as long as we're using tractors, Prabhupada said, as long as you're using tractors, you will want to eat the bull. Because you think, what do we do with him? We have to feed this animal, and what are we getting from him? Then, sooner or later, send him to the slaughterhouse. So we are against tractors. Finished? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.